Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians this time because we will answer the question, did the Apostle Paul teach the Gentile Christians at Corinth and in all the churches to keep the Christian Passover? And is it there that he said you can do it anytime you want to? So we'll answer that question. But remember, the whole substance and heart and core of the Passover is that was the day that Jesus was crucified. That was the day he was beaten and scourged and shed his blood and died on the cross so we can have our sins forgiven. And it goes one step further in that. That is the sacrifice from God so you can enter the new covenant. But you must also provide the symbolic substance of your death through water baptism by full immersion in water to be joined to the death of Christ. So this is why the Passover becomes very important, because it is important that if you do not obey Jesus Christ, keep the commandments of God, keep the Passover and the holy days of God, you are not a true Christian. You may have Christian values, you may have Christian principles, but you are not walking in the footsteps of Jesus, and you are not following the teachings of the apostles, even though you may believe some of the scriptures. See, if all scripture is God-breathed, it all applies to all of us all the time. Not just what you want to pick and choose. Now, the church at Corinth was the most problematic church the Apostle Paul had. They had more heresies. They had more problems in teaching. They had more problems in people running off and doing what they want to do, adding to the commands that Paul gave them, adding to the teachings of Jesus Christ, bringing in false doctrines, like he says in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, that some of them actually believed that there was no resurrection. Well, now, most Christians today don't believe in a resurrection. You're in the same boat as a problematic church in Corinth. You have heresies, you have lies, you have a twisting and turning of the scriptures. You have another Jesus, and frankly, you don't even know what you're doing. So let's come to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, the last sentence here. For Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So he taught them the Passover. He taught them about the foot washing. He taught them about the bread and the wine. And there were disputes in Corinth concerning the bread and wine. There were disputes in Corinth because some people thought, well, if we're going to do what Jesus did, then we need to have a supper with the Passover as well. And there are some people who believe that today. Now, Jesus did conclude the Old Testament Passover by eating the lamb from the Old Testament Passover. Then he instituted the bread and the wine, as well as the foot washing. So here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul has to get very corrective with them. And this is important because, you see, we can't come along and add what we think are good ideas for God to the Word of God. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 17. Now in this that I am commanding you, I do not praise you, because when you assemble together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. You ever gone to church? It was a terrible mess. Yeah. You ever gone to church and received nothing? You ever gone to church and sat there and thought to yourself, why am I here? Well, they had the same problems there. Verse 18, first of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you are assembled together in the church, and I partly believe it. Now, what is a heresy? What is a division? That is this. Any teaching that varies from the teaching of Jesus and the apostles is dividing, and it is heresy, and can become blasphemous. And let me just say here categorically, all of the Lord's Supper, communion, and Eucharist that is practiced in all of the churches today, the Sunday-keeping churches, and even some Sabbath-keeping churches, where they take the Lord's Supper on the first Sabbath of every quarter. And that's not in the Bible either. That's an injunction of men. All the false teachings of men are blasphemous to God, and blasphemous to Jesus Christ, and blasphemous to his sacrifice. We go back to what I said. Do you hear the teachings that Jesus said, and teach them all things that I have commanded you? Do they? Verse 19. For it is necessary that heresies be among you. They're going to come. Inevitably. Why? Because Christians are to judge between right and wrong and good and evil and truth and deception. Here's why. So that the ones who are approved may be manifest among you. In other words, those who stand for the truth are the ones who are going to stand out whenever anything happens to bring in something that is not what Christ and the apostles taught. That's why we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today, because that's what it has to be. Now notice one of them, right here, verse 20. Therefore, when you assemble together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. I'll read that again. It is not to eat the Lord's Supper. All commentaries say he was correcting them for eating the Lord's Supper incorrectly. No, he says it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And in the Greek, this is the strongest term of negation. The Greek there is ouk. To put it in English, it would be this way. It is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And I've often wondered, why do they call it the Lord's Supper? See, because you can't eat the Lord's Supper because he finished the Old Testament Passover with what he ate. And you're not eating bread or wine that was there when Jesus was there, so how can you eat the Lord's Supper? That's what Paul is saying. But they, like so many people today, think, well, we got to have a meal with this. Let's see what they were doing. Instead of having a solemn ceremony of understanding that this commemorates the death of the Lord till he comes, they were coming in and having a party. Verse 21, for in eating, everyone takes his own supper first. Now, on the one hand, someone goes hungry, but on the other hand, another one becomes drunken. Notice how Paul reacts to this, decisively showing and we will see by absolute command, you are not to eat the Lord's Supper, either call it that, or to bring food to the Passover and eat it. Verse 22. What? Don't you have houses for eating and drinking? Or do you despise the church of God and put to shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. No. Stop and think about it. You look at all of the practices associated with what is called taking the Lord's Supper, communion, and Eucharist. And if there's any one thing that Satan loves to do to the true Passover of God, is to heap upon it all kinds of heresies and wrong and false teachings and practices, to bury the truth under an avalanche of lies, and have people become so accustomed to it that if anybody dares tell the truth, he's a nutcase. Well, the opposite is true. What does he say about eating a meal on the Passover night? Notice verse 34. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, with the obvious implication, before he comes, so that there will be no cause for judgment when you assemble together. All right. So it is not to be called the Lord's Supper. Number one. Number two, you are not to have a meal in connection with the New Testament, New Covenant, Christian Passover. You are to eat before you come. This also shows that it is to be observed when evening is turning toward dark. That's when it's to be celebrated and observed on the 14th day of the first month according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. And that's in the time frame of March, April on the Roman calendar. Now let's see what Paul said, because this becomes very important as to why he was teaching Gentiles to keep the Passover as Jesus taught. And they, without Paul being there, were going about with their own ideas. Oh, this is good. Let's do this. Yes, I'll bring a leg of lamb. That'll be nice. Oh, yes, and I'll bring some chicken. And, oh, yes, let's bring some wine. Well, those people over there are poor. Well, we won't give them anything. You know, we may throw them some bones a little later on. But, you know, we're here to honor God because we have all of these good things we're going to honor God with. God says, no, you're not. If you're going to honor God, you honor God according to his terms, not yours. And you know that lesson goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, doesn't it? Notice what Paul says here, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night, not in the morning on Sunday, not hourly masses every hour on Sunday to 2 in the afternoon, not early morning masses beginning at 5 o'clock so the righteous can come down to the temple and continue to be deceived into our satanic religion by taking the Eucharist. Harsh words. Well, if you think so, then you better look at the Bible. Then you better be serious about studying the Word of God. Because a lot of what too many people assume to be truth are lies and errors and blasphemies against God, and yet they feel good if they do it. Satan wants you to feel good. Satan wants you to think you're doing right. Satan doesn't want you disturbed with the truth. Oh, no! you might get rid of your deception. Now, Satan can't afford that.
All right.
I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which he was betrayed took the bread. Question right here. How often in the year does the Passover come? Once a year, on the 14th day of the first month. In that night. And he said, this do in the remembrance of me. Verse 24, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is being broken for you. This do in the remembrance of me. Now, the remembrance in the Greek means an annual memorial observance. And that's exactly what the Passover is, an annual memorial observance of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And to be observed at the same time of the night, in the same manner that Jesus taught the apostles. Now, either way, did he teach the Apostle Paul this? Yes. Did the Apostle Paul teach the Corinthians this? Yes. How many scriptures do you need to make it clear what God means? One. One is enough because God cannot and does not lie. Let's read on. In like manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. So the cup of wine, though it's called fruit of the vine, they didn't have grape juice back then. They only had wine. And by the way, properly processed wine is unleavened. So we'll bring that up a little later when we get to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now, maybe your head's swimming a little bit and saying, oh, man, there's an awful lot of this which is connected with original Christianity. Yes, there is. There's a lot of it. And it's so different from what I have been taught. Yes, it is. Because you see, the teachers, the ministers, the theologians have all gone pagan. Now, you need to know the true history of that. That's something. A lot of people think that what they are doing in church goes right back to Jesus Christ himself. Well, unless you are doing what Jesus said in the way and the manner and on the day he said to do it, it does not go back to Christ. Now, verse 26, here's a phrase that people run wild with, and they have never really even checked the Greek to understand it. So I'll explain it to you. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. Oh, we can do it as often as we want to. Morning, noon, and night, every hour. For as often as. There's a little catch. In the original Greek, there is a little particle that is a two-letter particle, an, in the Greek pronounced on. And it's there twice. And it is an untranslatable particle because that is a sign in the Greek language that what is being said has limiting factors so that as often as is limited to the context of what is being said. And often as does not mean as often as you want to, but as often as it is necessary year by year until Jesus returns. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you solemnly proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. How about that? Once a year until he comes. Now, at the time that Paul was writing this, they thought that Jesus was going to come in perhaps the next 20, 25 years. Later, when you read 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and Hebrews, you understand that the apostles were given the inspiration by God and the revelation that the return of Christ would not come for many, many, many years. And in order to substantiate that, God gave what is called the Book of Revelation to the Apostle John. But here at this time, wasn't that way. Now notice, verse 27, for this reason, if anyone shall eat this bread or shall drink the cup of the Lord unworthily, he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, since the Passover is one day a year, to be observed in the night, with all the things that Jesus commanded, the foot washing, the bread, and the wine, and the reading of the scriptures that pertain to the new covenant, that pertain to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to read all of those. So right here is a condemnation to take it any old time you want to take it in a way that's different from what Jesus commanded us to do, and you are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now stop and think about that. Does this not answer the question as to why what is known as the Christian church in the world is cut off from God? This is why we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. The Christian Biblical Church of God performs the observance of the Passover on the 14th day of the first month according to the calculated Hebrew calendar at the time and in the manner that Jesus commanded. With the foot washing first, then the breaking of the bread, then the drinking of the wine, and the reading of the scriptures, because this is the most solemn night of the year, because it is the commemoration of the day that one of the God family became the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, taking upon himself human nature, being tempted in every way that we are, so he can be the perfect sacrifice without ever sinning, so we can have our sins forgiven, so we can be brought into a covenant relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and it can't come any other way. That's why Paul says, no man takes it to himself. Those who have their own ideas and implement them instead of the truth of the Bible. Anyone who does anything contrary to the Word of God and the commandments of God is seeking his own glory and his own will and his own way. Now this becomes important to understand. We're going to see what it means to eat of that bread and what it means to drink of that wine. So these are the most important programs that we can go through. I want you to go back over them. I want you to understand them. I want you to write for the book, Occult Holidays, God's Holy Days, which this will give you an overview of the things we've been talking about here. And you need the book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or A Religion of Men. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.